Good morning. Welcome in on this Sunday morning. And one thing that has been very critical over the last year or so is the mental health issues that have come up because of the stay-at-home orders, the pandemic. There's so much stress in life. So we brought in Casey Ennis, Tulare County Behavioral Health. Mental health awareness is something, Casey, that is very, very important. And not a lot of people know how to help themselves when it comes to mental health awareness.
One in five people struggle with mental health issues at some point in their life. And yet, many people either don't know how to get help or don't feel comfortable getting help. And so they struggle with that alone.
Your profession and your field, it has to be tough because you see a lot of people that are struggling and just reaching out for help. Give us a little bit of background on you and on your career, Casey.
So I have my master's in psychology. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm currently finishing my doctorate in social work with University of Southern California. And I currently work as a division manager for clinical services for Tulare County Health and Human Services Agency's mental health branch. And I do private practice, and I'm an adjunct professor for Bremen University.
So there's no doubt that you're pretty busy.
Yeah.
And I would guess to say that this year your plate's filled up quite a bit.
Yeah, and most definitely. And so, you know, I talked earlier about one in five people are struggling with mental health issues at some point. And really, you know, we're just starting to see research and reports come in that over the last year, those rates have increased by about 25% to 35% at least. And also, even more frightening is we're seeing more people in psychiatric crisis, not getting help and really struggling with your mental health, and then getting to a point where you don't feel safe with yourself or others, and so having to access either you know, our emergency rooms or law enforcement or a crisis team to get help because, you know, potentially you're thinking about hurting yourself or somebody else. And we've seen rates of crisis increase for youth and for adults anywhere from 25% to 35%. And substance use disorders, we're seeing increased overdose deaths nationally, you know, at significant rates. So people are really struggling right now.
People aren't real sure if they have a mental health issue or if their mental health isn't strong or healthy because they may not know exactly what mental health means. In layman's terms, how can you define what mental health issues contain?
So when we think about mental health, I really like to introduce the concept of a spectrum. So we're thinking about a person's psychological and emotional well-being on a spectrum and how they really carry themselves in the world and function or don't function. So I really like to think and talk about the ability to live, laugh, and love. If you have, you know, emotions, cognitions, behaviors that are making it hard, you know, more days than not to really carry yourself in the world and, you know, go to work or have successful relationships, do the things that you used to care about, those are indicators that, you know, on the spectrum of mental health, maybe you're having a hard time, and maybe it would be helpful to see somebody and talk about what's going on.
You gave some statistics and percentages just a few minutes ago. Do you feel that if people knew that they were suffering from mental illness or their mental health was damaged, that number would be extremely higher?
Most definitely. I mean, we see for serious mental illness, individuals that struggle with a mental illness for the rest of their life, 50% of that population has the disorder and is diagnosable as a teenager. And up to, I think it's 95% have, or 75%, excuse me, by the age of 24, symptoms to demonstrate that they have a serious mental illness. And yet we don't get those people coming and asking for help. And so we treat them much later in life. And that's talking about serious mental illness. When we think about, you know, the rates of 1 in 5 or 20% and how that's increased, I would imagine definitely at different points, a whole lot of us half of us, more than half maybe, have struggled with symptoms that could be a mental health disorder or could just be, you know, an adjustment disorder to things that are going on in their life, and they would really benefit from talking to somebody, seeing somebody, and preventing that from becoming more of a serious mental illness.
Talking to somebody, something just as simple as that, could be what really turns your mental health around, right?
It really is. And it's almost like having a balloon and taking a needle to it and just bursting all the things that you've been holding for so long, right? And we do have a lot of research that demonstrates just having that trusting relationship where you can release, you know, all of those things you've been holding, that in itself helps people get better more than anything. Being able to talk to somebody who's trained to do that work and hear you and offer, you know, suggestions and support helps people get better.
I've talked to people in the past that say they won't go get help because they're pretty positive that the doctor will go and use their information elsewhere. But your profession is very confidential.
Most definitely. And so, you know, that is how we are trained. That is also, you know, a legal requirement of our work, that we keep our services and everything that we do and talk about confidential. There are some situations, if you're involved in court proceedings, where we could be ordered to share some information, and we definitely disclose that with each person that we work with, situations where, you know, we would potentially need to share information. But for the most part, and for most clients that I work with, you know, I maintain confidentiality, and that's the expectation of the profession. We are not there to judge. We are not there to share information beyond what happens in that room. We're really, the intention is that we create a safe space, and we're really a container. We hear you, we gather that information, and we provide that support, and we hold that for that person.
Let's talk about the types of mental illness, because there is a long list that falls under the category of mental illness that some people may not think is that big of a deal. So let's touch on a couple of the most common mental illness issues, if we could.
Sure. And as I share about a few of those, you know, I definitely want to throw out there that I am not intending that anybody take the information and attempt to diagnose themselves. And I also even throw out there that, you know, a diagnosis helps us with some treatment interventions, some medications if they're seeing a psychiatrist. But beyond that, I don't love the labels that diagnoses give, except that sometimes they help us understand, you know, what might be happening to ourselves. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm not trying to help anybody diagnose themselves. When we talk about most common disorders, anxiety typically is anxiety disorders in general are some of the most common disorders that we might see. And this can happen in a few different ways. Generally, it's having heightened nervousness or worry. When we're talking about generalized anxiety, which is a very common disorder, it would be on more days than not for a significant period of time. And we're looking typically at 6 months to diagnose that. But I would say that if you are worried on more days than not in general, and it's impairing your ability to, again, live, laugh, and love, definitely go see somebody.
And everyone has a little bit of anxiety in their life. That's just the human nature. But what may cause the problem is when it's a constant issue.
Exactly. And thank you for saying that. Yeah, it is totally normal to have stress and have physical reaction to that stress where maybe, you know, you're noticing your heart rate a little bit more. Maybe your sleep is a little off for a few days. Maybe you notice that you're just, your brain, you're worrying about just certain things that could happen. And so when we talk about where it becomes more impactful is it's not going away, right? So you are noticing strong physical reactions to, you know, a lot or most stressful things in your life in such a way that, again, it's hard to maybe do your work or do your school work or, you know, participate in a healthy way in your relationships. So it really interferes with your life in some way. But you're right. It is totally normal to have reactions to stress and to worry at times. So we're really talking about when it becomes an interference in your life.
So anxiety is one. Let's continue on. What's another?
We are also looking at the next most common disorders are going to be mood disorders. and really looking at depression. And we all know and hear about depression. Annually, I mean, up to 8% of individuals in the United States can experience symptoms of depression that would be qualified as far as a diagnosis. Having thoughts or feelings of hopelessness or sadness, feeling guilt for no reason, losing weight, gaining weight, lack of energy, finding it hard to get out of bed, those are all symptoms and behaviors that are concerning. And if they're happening about 2 weeks or more, is really the time period we're looking at as far as a depressive disorder. That's definitely something to be concerned about. And again, to an extent where, you know, you're not getting to work or you're not talking to those people that you used to really enjoy talking to, you're not doing those important things in your life the way you used to. And of course, thoughts of harming yourself or suicide is an indicator. Don't wait for the 2 weeks. Get help now.
Over the last year during this pandemic, depression has been on the rise because people, like you said, aren't able to get out and talk to the people that you worked with or that you came in contact with on a daily basis. And I'm assuming that a lot of those numbers that you were talking about a little while ago were a lot focused on depression.
Yeah, you know, both anxiety and depression, people are worried and people are sad. We have not been able to lead the lives that we know as a society, and that's impactful and that's really hard. When we think about, you know, how we maintain good mental health, a lot of times we talk about social determinants of health, right? Being able to have financial stability, being able to connect to our community, to have healthy relationships, to ensure that our physical health is taken care of. And this pandemic has really made all of that either very, very challenging for most people or in some cases impossible. And so that has definitely resulted in a negative impact on mental health. And so, yes, we are seeing people who are, you know, depressed and anxious. And what I would throw out there is we are experiencing as a society collective trauma. And so those, while those things are normal, those reactions and those behaviors, those are something we still need to get help for so they don't become more impactful and more long-term, even as this pandemic ends, right?
We're talking with Casey Ennis from Tulare County Health and Human Services about mental health, and we're talking about some of the more common mental health. And another one that people make a little bit light of, there's even a movie called Psycho, but it really is a serious disorder.
Yeah, and so there are psychotic disorders, and I would even, you know, just mention that some of the disorders such as depression, and we didn't really talk about bipolar disorder, they can have psychotic features. But really what we're talking about when it comes to a psychotic episode in general is somebody seeing, hearing, believing things that are just not possibly real. So delusions and hallucinations. An individual who has incoherent speech, is responding to internal stimuli with extreme mood shifts and irritations. Those can be some of the symptoms of behaviors that we're looking at. And it's all tied to really, again, not seeing, hearing, or believing things that are rooted in reality. And so typically psychosis results with more severe mental illness. It can also be, you know, a byproduct of severe substance use. And so when we're talking about schizophrenia as, you know, one of the disorders where we would see psychosis, I mean, we're talking about less than 1% of the population in any given year. And, you know, we can see, again, psychotic episodes within some of the other disorders as they progress if someone's not getting help.
The next disorder I want to talk about is very common, and some people may not even realize they have this, and that's eating disorder. I mean, that affects a lot of people.
Most definitely. And I would even throw out there that, you know, eating disorders potentially are definitely underdiagnosed because people maybe aren't getting help. And so thinking about, you know, compulsive overeating, binging, purging, throwing up after overeating, avoiding food for periods of time, and really, you know, significant changes in weight that go along with that. one in seven will have an eating disorder in their lifetime. So it is more common than I think we talk about, and that's only the people who've actually gone to get help. So I would imagine that, you know, those rates are even higher. And typically, I mean, symptoms related to an eating disorder, those happen, you know, and start earlier in life. So by age 25, 95% of those who have an eating disorder will already be experiencing symptoms or behaviors related to that.
Definitely with society that we live in now, where everyone needs to try to be as perfect as possible, it really starts at a young age with eating disorders, doesn't it?
Most definitely. And it really is that slippery slope of, you know, trying to find health and take care of ourselves and suddenly doing it to an extreme measure or trying to control ourselves in a way that no longer is healthy. And so, yes, it definitely starts at a young age. It impacts, you know, a whole lot of people. And it's usually grounded in maybe some other experiences or traumas that people need to get help with, right? And that's why, you know, some of these things are happening around their eating habits.
Let's say someone is gaining a little weight, they lose a little weight, they gain a little weight. It's kind of this process. But is that considered an eating disorder where they're just gaining and losing weight in a natural way?
Yeah, of course not. I mean, I would say I think all of us at some point are putting on, and most definitely during this pandemic, probably putting on a few pounds and trying to plan how to take that off. So again, what I would go back to when it's problematic is when it's interfering with your daily life, right? So maybe it's hard to now eat with others or in front of people. Maybe you have to time where you're eating because you're thinking about purging later. So all of those things that, again, start to interfere with that live, laugh, and love idea, your ability to carry yourself in the world in a healthy way, then we're looking more at disordered eating. And something that's much more concerning.
Another mental disorder that I think we've all heard more about since the war in Afghanistan and Iraq and those servicemen and women coming home suffering from PTSD. Now, it's just not the military personnel that can be affected by this, but anyone can be diagnosed with PTSD, correct?
So post-traumatic stress disorder, we're looking at any given year, about 4% of our population is impacted by PTSD. And again, I would say that number could be much higher because I don't think everybody gets help. But yes, it can be after experiencing and going to war. It can be after a trauma that you've experienced, such as a car accident, sexual abuse. I mean, there's so many significant life traumas that we can experience. And then have different symptoms or behaviors, which include hypervigilance, being very aware of your surroundings, of noises, of things that might cause danger and remind you of the trauma. And this could be definitely not even on purpose, of course. Reliving of the trauma, we talk about flashbacks, avoiding things in your life that remind you of the trauma. Additionally, you know, extreme shifts in mood, anger and irritation, anxiety. Those are all, you know, symptoms and behaviors around PTSD. And what I would say is that if you have been through a significant life experience, and I think sometimes people try to maybe downgrade their trauma. Well, it wasn't that bad. People have been through worse. Now, if you've been through a significant life experience that overwhelmed you for a period of time and you're noticing, you know, shifts in your mood and reactions to others, you find yourself having nightmares or dreams about that experience, you do a lot to avoid, you know, remembering that experience, it's time to get help, because PTSD can be just definitely pervasive in how it interrupts your life. And again, your ability to have healthy relationships, get to work, get to school, all of those things.
When people find out that they have PTSD or any other of the disorders, will it just go away one day? I mean, people always think, I don't need to worry about this. It'll go away and I'll be just fine.
No. And what I would say, especially when we're talking about disorders like PTSD or, you know, more significant depression or anxiety, is that the behaviors that we then, you know, partaken to help ourselves with the, you know, all those symptoms and behaviors we're experiencing typically continue the disorder, right? So when we talk about PTSD and we talk about, you know, somebody who's avoiding anything that reminds them of their trauma, well, in actuality, that behavior in itself is strengthening the response to the original trauma. It's really keeping that PTSD disorder alive. So in our attempts to protect ourselves from the symptoms of these disorders, we typically strengthen the disorder themselves. And so that's part of the work of the therapist working with the client to really address behaviors that are strengthening the disorder and trying to find more helpful coping behaviors and ways to address what's going on.
Are there any other disorders that we should talk about?
I just wanted to throw out there that I didn't mention substance use disorders, and I really want to introduce the idea to everybody that substance use and abuse is a mental health disorder, and it's very, very impactful in how it can really disrupt somebody's life. And through this pandemic, we are seeing such increased rates of substance abuse. The risk for that becoming a disorder is definitely higher for most or a lot of people. And we're seeing significant rates of overdose deaths throughout this pandemic. So I just want to throw out there that if you are drinking or, you know, using substances in a way that's interrupting with your relationships or your daily life, also, it's time to maybe see somebody and get some help. Those with substance use are the least likely in a lot of cases to get help.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Is that one of the most common of the disorders that we deal with here in the United States? And that includes alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely, it is one of the most frequently seen disorders, and it's the one people are not getting help with. So I would say that the numbers are probably not an accurate reflection. In any given year, only about 10% of people are getting help for their substance use disorders. And about half of those in a lot of cases are usually mandated by, you know, the courts or because, you know, maybe child welfare is now involved in your life. So there's a whole lot of people that are struggling with substance use disorders that are not getting help. And so that in itself is very problematic, and it makes everything worse as far as your mental health. So, yeah, it's definitely concerning.
The next thing I want to talk about now is preventing mental health issues. If you feel like maybe you fall into one of these categories, what are some of the warning signs and ways that you need to get help?
Sure. And so when we think of warning signs, again, please take with you that idea of, am I, you know, able to carry myself in this world and live, laugh, and love to a degree that makes sense to me, right? And some of the things that might disrupt that ability would be being overly sad or withdrawn for more than 2 weeks, having thoughts or attempts or plans to end your life. I mean, that's most definite a red flag and a warning sign. Just severely being out of control with risk-taking behaviors, being impulsive and doing things to put yourself or others at risk, experiences of sudden, overwhelming fear for no, you know, straightforward reason, and having maybe some physical symptoms like racing heart, physical discomfort, or difficulty breathing, and ruling out, of course, that there's no organic or physical causes to that. Experiencing significant weight loss or gain. And again, I mean, I think we've all put on, you know, the pandemic 15. I might just be speaking for myself, but if you notice that you're having significant weight loss or gain, it's tied to some behaviors that are problematic. That is a warning sign. Seeing, hearing, or believing things that may not be real, or maybe people are telling you are not real, is a red flag. Excessive use of alcohol or drugs or increased use. And then drastic changes in mood, being more sad or irritable, and noticing behaviors that are disruptive, or your sleeping habits have definitely changed. Having difficulty concentrating, so you're not able to do your work or be involved with school. or staying still could definitely be problematic. And then intense worries or fears in general that get in the way of daily activities. Those are all red flags. And I would say, you know, when we think about how to catch these, first of all, get your checkups, go see your doctor at least once a year, rule out health issues and talk about what's really happening. And then beyond that, get help. So if any of these red flags or warning signs ring true, advocate for your health, right? Your mental health, and it impacts your physical health. We're going to talk, I think, in a moment just about some numbers and some things to be aware of to call. And then lastly, take care of yourself, self-care. You know, what is important to you for self-care in order to manage stress before it becomes toxic? I like to work out and garden, read, spend time with my family and animals. What can you do to take care of yourself?
And something just as simple as spending a little extra time with your dog or your cat could really help out your mental health.
Most definitely. There's some research that shows just petting, you know, a furry animal regularly provides better mental health benefit than a lot of things. So, yeah, and really being intentional and in the moment with it, right? So don't sit on your phone as you're doing it. Really just be aware, you know what, I'm taking care of me right now, and I am petting this cat. Or something where, you know, you're really in the moment with it and enjoying it.
We've talked a lot. We've thrown a lot of information out there. But it's to the point now where if someone is listening to this and they think, oh, well, maybe I do have an issue and I need to get help, where can I get help?
So first of all, I mean, if you have a insurance card, right, call the back of it. There's member benefit info, and they're going to be able to give you a list of providers with phone numbers that you call. They also might have an EAP or an employee assistance program number, and that's a good way to get started with a few sessions for free. I would also say that, you know, right now, providers are filling up fast. So if you're calling down the list that's provided to you and no one is accepting new patients or clients, call your insurance back and let them know, because it's their job to ensure that you can find a provider. And this works for both private insurance and for those who have Medi-Cal. If you do not have insurance, I mean, most definitely there's Covered California. You can get set up with Medi-Cal, but that's the best way to get started. If in general, maybe you just want to pay out of pocket and you're not going to rely on insurance, Psychology Today has a great website that lists all the therapists in your area. And then if you also just need to maybe think about talking to somebody right now, you want to kind of see what's going on and get some support, we have a local warm line. And that phone number is 1-877-306-2413. And they have individuals 24/7 that are available to chat with you. If you are in crisis, you know, you're hearing this and some things ring true, maybe you don't feel safe with yourself or others, we have a crisis line locally, and that phone number is 1-800-320-1616. Again, 1-800-320-1616. Now, if your safety is, you know, definitely in jeopardy in the moment, call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room. And then, of course, there's also the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. And you can also text HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741 if you would rather communicate that way.
We talked early in this interview that we wanted to make sure that people didn't think that with the information you were sharing, that that was okay for them to self-diagnose. If you have any kind of issues, stay off of Google and just go get help.
Exactly.
By reaching out to get help, it's the easiest way for you to determine whether or not you really have problems. That's why you have insurance. If you have insurance, that's why you have it. So use it.
Most definitely.
Well, Casey Ennis, Division Manager of Clinical Services to Larry County Health and Human Services Behavioral Health Branch, I appreciate it so much. I feel more informed, and I know that this has been such a tough year for so many people. So if you're having mental issues, if you're stressed out a lot, just get help. That's all we can say. Casey, thank you so much. We always love it when someone comes on here and can give us all kinds of information, and you sure did today.
Thank you, Drew. You have a great day.